You're listening to Section D, first broadcast on the 12th of January 2016 on Monocle 24. Hello and a very warm welcome to Section D, Monocle 24's dedicated design show. I'm Henry Rhys Sheridan, standing in this week for Josh Fennett, who's in Sydney. Business, not pleasure, he assures us. Last weekend was London Collections Men, a fashion extravaganza that has established itself as a fixture on the menswear calendar in just a few short years. To mark the occasion, we bring you a special report on the show from Monocle's sartorial savant, Jamie Waters. Stay tuned to hear his interviews with Patrick Grant, creative director and owner of eTorts.
When you see it all put together and the boys look great and the hair looks amazing and you see them walking in the space, you know, things all of a sudden come alive in a way that you hope they will.
British up-and-comer Logan McKay.
I've always had a passion for fashion. I thought the time was now to try and make it on my own and do something that I'm really passionate about and, you know, pursue my dream.
And Dylan Jones, editor-in-chief of British GQ and chairman of London Collections Men.
We want more Chinese designers to come and show in London because actually their sensibility and their clothes have far more relevance than some of the very old-fashioned European designers.
We also check out what's going on elsewhere in the capital. We check in with Nazifa Movsamova, founder of Modern Society, a new concept store in Shoreditch. All that coming up right here on Section D, Monocle 24's dedicated design show. London Collections Men is a men's fashion show that has gone from strength to strength since its inauguration in 2012. Its emphasis on the creative and commercial importance of British brands and emerging talent is complemented by a bold, outward-looking attitude that looks to bring the world of men's fashion to London and London's design talent to the world. We sent Jamie Waters as Monocle's envoy to the show, selected for his youth, good looks and impeccable sartorial instincts. I'm very happy to present part one of his report.
London Collections Men was established in 2012, and in the past couple of years, the first major event on the menswear calendar has gone from strength to strength. It's the second day of the Autumn Winter 16 event, and I'm about to head backstage at eTorts to chat to Patrick Grant, the brand's creative director. I'm also going to have a word to a few male models who are about to strut their stuff. It's the second day of London Collections Men. You're about to start your show. There's a lot of people, a lot of photographers, models milling around. How are you feeling?
We prepare. We're one of the more prepared brands. I actually walked in my friend Aggie and Sam's show a couple of seasons ago, and they were still making the clothes backstage, never mind like working out who wore what. Last night, before we left the studio, every outfit was prepped. Everything was bagged, model cards, model boards. We knew exactly who was wearing what. We know exactly what the changes are. You know, at this stage, we like to be very organized. So actually, I feel pretty calm. Music's done. We've just done the rehearsal. It's about 40 minutes until we're due to start. We are still missing one model, but apparently he's on his way and we've got an alternate on his way. This always kind of happens.
Do you still get nervous before a big show like this?
It's funny. We feel reasonably calm by this stage. There's a sort of excitement more than a nervousness because, you know, this is now, you know, we do this twice a year. This is a very big deal for us. You know, we've got people coming, buyers coming from all over the world. We've got press coming from all over the world. You know, we want it to go well. We want it to look, we want people to like the clothes. We want the show to go well. We want the images to look great. It's a big production, you know, that God knows how many people there are out there working between, you know, Tony and Guy, Mac makeup team, you know, the production team at Blondstein doing the sound and the rigging and the lighting and all the rest of it. Our team, the dressers, models from all over the world. It's a reasonably well-oiled machine and, you know, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you if I was panicking and stressing about it.
What are some of your favourite pieces from this show coming up?
I think there's a few. I really like the shirts, which seems a weird thing to say, but we've got a very full shirt silhouette. We've got some really beautiful little details. There's these gorgeous epaulettes on the shoulders. A very, very relaxed feel to the shirts. The trousers are a really nice draped silhouette. There's a beautiful trench that I really like that's got a very lovely sort of full sleeve. And there's some beautiful hand-knitted knitwear. We've just started working with a small knitwear studio in Gala Shields, and all of the knitwear pieces are actually knitted on the needle. They're hand, like genuinely hand-knitted. They've got a lovely sort of slouchy casual elegance to them, and they've just got a beautiful feel. They're very bouncy. There's something lovely about a really, you know, genuinely hand-knitted jumper versus a machine-knitted jumper that's just quite special. So those, I think, are the pieces I like most, but that'll change. I'll see things like, oh, I love that more now.
Where are some of those ones made?
Everything bar the suits is made in the UK. So the knitwear, the studio is based in Gala Shields, but they're actually knitted by hand knitters in their homes, and I don't know where they have about 200 hand knitters. We have our own factory up in Blackburn, so a lot of the clothes are made there, and then we have a couple of smaller factories in London that make quite a lot of it. The socks are made in South Wales. Christian Louboutin does our shoes, so they're made in Italy. Ties are made in the UK, some in Scotland, some in southwest of England.
I'm interested in what you said before about when you might change your mind when you see things on the catwalk. What's that moment like? That is it quite different seeing the clothes in the final show?
We've been putting outfits together for the last week. You know, obviously we've been designing the clothes and seeing toiles, but when you see it all put together and the boys look great and the hair looks amazing and you see them walking in the space, you know, things all of a sudden come alive in a way that you hope they will, which is weird because the finale music talks about in the evening the real me comes alive. But, you know, the clothes do come alive on the catwalk. That is the whole point of doing a catwalk show versus a static show or a lookbook. You see the clothes in motion. Some clothes look good in motion and others don't. And ours, I think, this season, very specifically, they are clothes to kind of move in. There's much more drape, there's much more softness about them. You know, I think we're seeing the end of tight, constricting clothes. You know, we've had tight, skinny clothes for a long time now. And I think all of a sudden we're moving out into a period where people want the ease. And you know, these are clothes you want to move in. It's a big deal seeing them come down the catwalk.
Are there any other British designers you've got your eye on this year?
Oh, loads, tons. It's a really, really exciting showcase. Man yesterday was amazing. Craig Green yesterday was brilliant. Aggie and Sam today. There's all the newer ones. Kit Neal, Alex Mullins yesterday, James Long, Christopher Shannon. There's a ton. Like, you know, it's a sort of really brilliant era for British menswear. It's an amazingly diverse set of shows that we have here, and that's why London's so brilliant.
So we're backstage at eTorts. The show's starting in about 15 minutes. How are you feeling?
I'm really looking forward for the show. I did 12:05 yesterday, so this is like a whole new thing.
And can you tell us about what you're wearing today?
I'm wearing Christian Louboutin shoes, some eTorts pants, and eTorts shirt, and eTorts jacket, and even socks. And it's Calvin Klein underpants.
And it's all in sort of quite earthy, like brown, beige.
Yeah, exactly. Like vintage look with the, I don't even know what this is called.
Like corduroy.
Corduroy. Corduroy, yeah. Some corduroy pants. But it's cool. I like it.
I'm feeling excited, actually. Like, I did a show yesterday and I was pretty nervous, but today I'm feeling more relaxed about it. It's a nice atmosphere, I think, as well. So, yeah, I'm feeling good.
Are you doing any other shows today?
Not today, no. To be honest, my schedule is like changing all the time. Like, I've got set a few castings and I'm not sure that they said there's potential fittings for the castings I did yesterday, but as of yet, no, I haven't.
And can you tell us a bit about what you're wearing today?
Love it. This grey coat is really nice, and then I got
very soft.
Yeah, low cut. Is it a shirt, would you say?
Yeah.
And then some sort of baggy smart trousers with the, I don't even know how to describe these shoes, but they're really nice. So.
It's all very, very draped silhouette. It looks very comfortable.
Yeah, I am very comfortable. A little bit warm, but yeah, comfortable.
As well as being an arena where the biggest names in men's fashion show their latest creations, London Collections Men is a valuable launching pad for up-and-coming designers. I'm on my way to Victoria House in central London, where the designer showrooms are being held. I'm going to chat to Logan Mackay, a young British designer whose clothes have already been worn by the likes of Lewis Hamilton.
once I finished university, I was studying business entrepreneurship, and I've always had a passion for fashion. I thought the time was now to try and make it on my own and do something that I'm really passionate about and, you know, pursue my dream.
You're one of the youngest designers here.
Yeah.
In fact, from what I believe, the youngest designer at LCM this year. Can you tell us a bit about what it's like starting a menswear label in the current market?
To be honest, I'd saved a bit of money while I was at university, and that enabled me to make samples and shoot lookbooks and really try and put everything together to make sure the collection was crisp and clean. The current climate, it didn't really hinder me too much because I'm not at the stage where I'm doing large productions, so it was okay for me.
I believe your short journey has already involved a bit of a brush with stardom. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so for our spring-summer collection, Lewis Hamilton stylist got in contact and we provided two of the biker jackets for him to wear. He wore them and it gave us great exposure, especially seeing as he's an ambassador for LCM. So it kind of got us on the radar of people. It kind of brought awareness towards our brand and helped get our foot in the door.
Can you tell us a bit about those pieces that he was wearing, biker jackets?
Yes, he was wearing the burgundy biker jacket, which was made out of lamb nappa. And that was the one that got the most attention, I would say, because it really suited him well. And he was seen wearing it with Jeremy Piven, who's the actor from Mr. Selfridge, yeah. And one day I hope to be in Selfridges, so that was good.
In terms of some of your other pieces, you've got quite a range of things. You've got some knitwear, you've got leather jackets. Can you talk us through a couple of the other items in your collection?
Yeah, so for this season, we introduced knitwear and trousers and shirts. Everything's manufactured in the UK. In terms of the knitwear, it's all hand-framed in a small factory in Grimsby, so they use very traditional techniques, and they could do certain things that some of the newer factories can't really do. We've got the knitwear, and the shirts are made in another small factory locally to where I'm based. And we've got the jackets again. We've reintroduced the biker jackets, but added a different element with the shearling detachable collars. And we've also got wool bomber jackets with detachable shearling as well, because we believe shearling is really in at the moment, and especially having it detachable gives you the opportunity to take it off, because in the UK you could get all seasons in one day, so you might need to take the shearling off and then put it back on at a different time throughout the day. So that we've been getting really good feedback off that.
British provenance is obviously really important to you. How do you go about finding all these different people who can create your items?
A lot of it's through word of mouth, and a lot of it is just through searching on the internet. You can find the right factories, and if you go in and speak to them and let them know your vision and they believe in you, then things could get done and they could work towards certain minimums. And yeah, all the factories I've dealt with have really helped me out in terms of teaching me and giving me advice and showing me the way and certain things to do and certain things not to do. So they've been really beneficial, and I'm really happy in that regard.
That was Jamie Waters reporting from London Collections Men. Stay tuned for part two of his report right after this short break.
How do you write a biography? Are we all curators today? Who still makes fanzines? And how close are fact and fiction? These are some of the questions constantly puzzling us here at Monocle. So each week on our culture show, we spin the globe to find the very best writers, musicians, artists, gallerists, filmmakers, commentators, and even mudlarks to debunk these cultural mysteries. Tune in to Culture with me, Robert Bound, every Monday at 1900 UK time, where all will be revealed.
It's the show presented by me, Andrew Tuck, all about the cities we live in. The show that celebrates urban living, from tough-talking mayors and civic activists to the guy who runs a perfect neighbourhood shop and the woman who, come sunset, turns into a gorilla gardener. The Urbanist is the go-to show for anyone who wants to know what makes a great city, and also a rubbish one, and how good lighting or wise technology could shape their metropolis for the better. Join us every week for sparkling debate, global reports, and some agenda-setting interviews.
We have a chance to shape what the urban environment will be like for billions of people.
The show premieres live every Thursday, or you can subscribe to the program as a podcast at monocle.com or on SoundCloud or iTunes. The Urbanist, a program that knows its good mayors from its planning nightmares.
You're listening to Section D, Monocle 24's weekly dedicated design show. This week, we've turned our attention to London Collections Men, with a special report from Monocle's very own Jamie Waters. Here's a final interview of his report. It's with Dylan Jones, editor-in-chief of British GQ and chairman of London Collections Men. And after that, Jamie's going to join me in the studio to reflect on his experience at the show.
I think the mood this season has been incredibly exciting because this is season 8, so we've been going for 4 years now. I think the two defining characteristics of this season are, firstly, it feels a lot more professional than it has done before. I think essentially because we encourage people to have less parties, less dinners, less events in the evening, because we're only 5 days after New Year, and we didn't want people to feel beholden, like they had to go to a dozen things in the evening. Lots of people are going out and there are lots of things to do, but we didn't want to make it prescriptive. I think the second important thing is, which is far more important than that, and probably the most important thing that's happened to London Collections Men since it started, is that we have such a huge array now of international visitors. We have press and buyers from 42 different countries. The buyers and the press this season have probably increased by around 15%. We've got 13 buyers from Isetan in Japan alone. So all of that is incredibly important, because when we started, the important thing for us was to have theatre and to draw attention to ourselves and to try and put London on the map again, which I think we've successfully done. But buyers make the industry work, and it's incredibly important to have all those buyers from all those international territories.
And on that note, are there any key sort of regions around the world that you think are the ones to watch?
The most important territories for us at the moment are China, the US, and Korea. Those are the territories that are growing. We have interest from all around the world, and lots of the designers already have existing relationships, and they're getting more relationships through showing at LCM. But I would say probably China and the States are the two biggest markets and remain the two biggest markets in terms of international sales.
You've just mentioned China, and we've just come out of GQ China's show, which was Sean Swen presented his collection. A really powerful show. It was amazing. For the listeners, models had safety pins. There were some quite futuristic elements. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the aesthetic of some of these Chinese designers? There's another one presenting later today as well.
Xander, yeah. I think that the Xander's shown here for quite some time now. I think the important thing for us is that the Chinese designers have a very idiosyncratic sensibility. And it's a great sensibility, because I think there's still an assumption in our world that the luxury goods industry operate in a sort of imperialistic way, in which we just sell them a lot of clothes. We design them here and we flog them to China. And that's just not the case. And I think that one of the things which we've really tried to foster at London Collections Men is a real relationship between East and West. And we want more Chinese designers to come and show in London, because actually their sensibility and their clothes have far more relevance in the modern world than some of the very old-fashioned European designers. And I think that London is not just a platform for great British ingenuity and young British design, it's also become a genuine platform for international designers, and obviously Chinese designers play an important part in that.
Obviously, as you've just said, there's a lot of young British designers, and we think of London Collections as being associated with a lot of British brands. With the big international mix that we're seeing, how do you think London Collections Men is different? What's its sort of unique flavour as compared to New York, Paris and Milan?
New York is obviously experimenting with its men's week, but doesn't really have the designers to make it work. Paris, you still see a lot of ingenuity and a lot of extravagance. And Milan has some of the biggest fashion houses in the world. But I think that if you want excitement and you want to see genuine passion on the catwalk and you want to see genuine theatre and real young creativity, then London is the only place to be. I think London has managed to harness two very important strands of our culture. In terms of creativity and fashion, Britain has always been very good at tradition and we've always been very good at rebellion. You know, we invented the suit, we have Savile Row, we have a very strong tradition of formal dressing, one which has been copied by the Americans, by the Italians, by everybody. But we've also invented pretty much every important youth cult since the end of the Second World War. Mods, Teds, punks, rockabillies, skins, goths, new romantics, emo, everybody. It all comes from London.
That was Monocle's Jamie Waters talking to Dylan Jones, editor-in-chief of British GQ and chairman of London Collections Men. And Jamie is joining me in the studio now to have a chat about his experience at LCM. Jamie, thanks very much for joining me.
Thanks very much for having me, Henry.
Now, Dylan ended the interview there by talking about one of the things that makes Britain's fashion and design heritage unique is its equal ability to both draw on the past, but also to deal with rebellious aspects that contravene that tradition. What are your thoughts about that, having seen what you have seen at London Collections of Men? Do you think that that's reflected there?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the most interesting parts about British fashion is there's these kind of two poles. We have obviously the tailor and we've got Savile Row and that long tradition, and there's still some amazing designers who are doing incredible suits and that sort of thing. For instance, I went to Richard James, so that his show was on Savile Row and it really tapped into that tradition. It was all beautifully tailored. But then we also have designers like J.W. Anderson who are doing really interesting kind of edgy design, and I guess, you know, they're tapping into traditions. We've had punk and mod and all these countercultural movements in London, and I think it's kind of that contrast. And then you have designers like E. Torts, who is somewhere in between. So Patrick Grant, the creative director of eTorts, is a good example of that because he was trained in Savile Row, so he's got that impeccable tailoring, but he's sort of doing some very baggy draped clothes. And his show was really fun because it drew on 80s Edinburgh. It was like disco. So it's sort of that kind of really old school feel to it, but also this immaculate tailoring.
Jamie, give me an idea more generally about what it was like to be at the show. What kind of people were there? You know, what did it feel like? Was it a pleasant environment to be in? I'm interested in your holistic experience of being there.
Yeah, well, so I started off backstage before the eTorts show. So that in itself was quite an experience. I couldn't help but feel very in the way because it's what you would imagine. There's people running everywhere. There's PR, there's publicists, there's makeup, there's models running everywhere. One particular model, with 15 minutes to go, I was told, he still wasn't there. He had just rolled out of bed. Anyway, he did arrive, like in true rock star fashion. So it is very frantic behind the scenes. In terms of when you're at the actual show, there's a lot of amazingly dressed people. And I think often the people watching, well, what I found was the people watching was almost as fun as watching the actual shows. And I think that's one of the places where you can pick up a lot of the key trends because people are dressed to impress when they're going to watch these shows.
And Jamie, I've been given to understand that you're often some kind of international jolly to bring back even more reports from fashion events around the world in upcoming editions of Section D. Do you want to tell me a little bit about what you've got in store?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm off to Pitti in Florence. So I'm there for a few days. That's traditionally been like the first major menswear show of the year before London Collections came about. And that's sort of renowned as being the home of peacocking. So I think there's going to be some very colourful characters there, which I'm excited to see. And then I'm off to Milan for the menswear shows there for a few days, which will also be a lot of fun.
Right from the horse's mouth there, fans of peacocks, just stay tuned to Section D. In coming weeks, there'll be reports from those shows from Jamie Waters. Jamie, thanks so much for joining me. Appreciate it.
Thanks very much for having me.
There is, of course, plenty going on in London besides London Collections Men. To finish this week's show, we're going to check in with a new concept shop in London's vibrant Shoreditch area. It's called Modern Society, and its founder, Nazifa Mofsamofa, is part of an emerging group of designers and independents who are moving away from the pull of the online world to offer a more sensory in-store experience. Monocle's correspondent Ilana Hanikov caught up with Nazifa at the shop on Red Church Street to talk design, coffee bars, and how people living in the fast lane just want to slow down.
The idea for Red Church Street came exactly a year ago. So we opened in October, and we're planning to expand within London as well soon.
And how do you like the idea of a concept store to provide people with that kind of experience? What does that mean to you when someone walks in, and what do you offer them?
Well, I think there's a lot of chat about the online retail these days. And I think the experience that we create gives people a memory, and a memory is something you can hold on to. No matter how amazing the website is, you can never recreate the experience that you can give in store.
That's an interesting point that you bring up, honestly, because online shopping, everyone is, you know, it's easy to do from home. You don't have to leave. Yeah. It seems to be the most convenient option, but then you miss this experience that you get when you walk into stores as beautiful as this. Yeah. I mean, the chandeliers here are amazing. How do you think you're adding to that, the whole concept?
We're adding to that by, again, doing the memory. You know, it's a visual identity of the brand together. So here we're playing the interior design. It's on the brands. It's everything that comes together in one store. And that's why, even though, you know, the idea of a concept store has kind of been worn out because it's been around for a long time. But right now, because of how we're bombarded with online and everything technological, people crave this personal experience. That's why I think we're putting so much effort on the music, on the vibe of the shop, because that is something I hope that people will come. And that's why we have regulars already, and they take away it and they want to experience it again. Yeah. And that's why they come back. No matter how amazing the experience is online, and it can be efficient, it can, you know, you can do your returns very efficiently, you can have it without leaving your house. Because of human nature, you will always want something more personal.
You have a coffee shop, a little bit of a coffee shop in the front of the store. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Of course. So the coffee shop, we have Mod Bar, which is from the US, which is our coffee machines. The Mod Bar, we're the fifth ones in the country that have that. We're the only ones that have got the entire set of the Mod Bar. The reason why Mod Bar was chosen is, if you see how the bar is built, Mod Bar allows for the experience of the customer to actually see how the coffee is made, because the old school coffee machines, there's a coffee machine between the barista and the customer, and you normally don't see how the coffee is made.
It's a very detached experience. Yeah.
So the beauty of the coffee bar, that's why you can sit at the bar and watch how the coffee is made at Modern Society. There's a lot of savvy customers in the coffee industry in shortage, so a lot of them are interested of, like, you know, which coffee beans we use and how we mix them and how we use the pour over machine. So this is perfect for that kind of experience as well. I'm so grateful, because obviously I'm a newbie that's come to the area, and the amount of help and collaboration or cooperation that I've received has been enormous.
That was Monocle's Ilana Hanukov talking to Nazifa Movsamova, founder of London concept store Modern Society. That's it for this week's show. My thanks to our editor, Holly Fisher. The show was co-produced by myself and Monocle's design correspondent, David Pleasant. If you have any comments or queries, then feel free to drop me a note at hrs@monocle.com. And remember, we're back at the same time next week. And of course, you can always listen again or dip into our back catalogue at monocle.com, SoundCloud and iTunes. You've been listening to Section D. I'm Henry Rhys Sheridan. And until next time, it's goodbye from me.